Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule on Sunday to join us here at the show. We are live each and every Sunday here in the studio. This week, I do happen to be in my studio here in lovely Colorado. And then when I'm not here, as you know, we do pre-records, or I'll sometimes do the show live remotely. But this is a live show. We're here in the studio this week. We've been talking about the whole, you know, the idea behind different approaches to innovation. If you've been a longtime listener to this show, both radio for the last 2 years and the podcast going back 13 years, we've talked about the fact that no one process, no one approach is fit for everybody, that you have to adapt whatever approach is going to work within your organization and within your team. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and in this case, a new approach. I came across this book recently, read about it a little bit about online. We reached out to the author to invite them on the show, and they graciously are joining us here today. So I'd like to welcome David Robertson. David is professor of practice at Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. So I was just up there 2 weeks ago for some other meetings. But David's new book is out, called The Power of Little Ideas. And it's a very unique little twist of not talking about processes and approaches to do really breakthrough methodologies or breakthrough ideas, or incremental, which some people kind of poo-poo and look down upon. It's really what, you know, David has identified in his book as kind of the third way to think about innovation. So, David, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule and joining us here for the show today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure, Phil.
So give us a little bit of background. You've got kind of an interesting history. You've got a previous book called Brick by Brick, which was on Legos and how they used innovation as part of their overall transformation. But give us a little bit of background. I'm always interested in how different people kind of get into the innovation game.
Well, it started young, I guess. I mean, my father was an innovator. He invented division. He built the first, and patented, actually, the way computers divide, which is different than the way you and I divide. And so I grew up in a house full of computer parts, but, you know, like vacuum tube computer parts. And he was chief engineer for Iliac 2, which was the first multiprocessing he often said the first working digital computer. A lot of the earlier experiments didn't actually function reliably, but his did some work for the census.
So did you then grow up in Urbana-Champaign then?
I did, and I went to college there. I grew up partly in Ann Arbor, Michigan, but I think of Champaign as my home.
Oh, okay, because I spent 5 years there. So that's kind of I used to do spin-off technologies from the university.
Yeah. I heard rumors about you, Phil, and I've heard that they've stopped pursuing, you know, that you were indicted but never convicted.
Yeah, well, Phil Phillips and the team at the University of Illinois that used to run all the patent stuff there, we became pretty close friends. It was an interesting time of trying to commercialize technology. So you grew up in a household where you kind of saw this. And then you went. Did you do your undergrad then at U of I?
Yeah. So I got an engineering degree, and then went and got my MBA and PhD at MIT Sloan School. And then I went to what my father called the dark side. I went to work for McKinsey and really loved it. I had a wonderful time there and learned an awful lot about management and innovation and product design, but from a management perspective. So I spent time in Sweden working alongside the leadership of a Volvo car development platform. I worked at an airbag manufacturer, just spent a lot of time actually out in companies, just looking at the struggles that people have in large companies to innovate. Then I went to, in the 90s, I went back to Boston and did startups. And in the late 90s, that was a lot of fun, doing technology startups and internet startups and things like that. And that was fun, and then it wasn't, right? After about 2001, it was a lot less fun. And I was CEO of a little startup, and we'd gotten funded, but it was just so painful in 2001, you know, after the crash, to kind of keep a company going. Nobody was spending. And so I called up a buddy of mine that I'd known for 20 years, and he was a professor at a business school in Switzerland. And I just said, you know, do you know of any interesting companies that would hire me? And he said, what about us? And so my kids were 2 and 4, and I thought, why not? You know, I'll go over to Switzerland for a year or two, and kids will learn French, and then I'll come back and get a real job. And but, you know, living in Switzerland and living the life of an academic, a European academic, it's kind of a, you know, in terms of the intensity of the startup experience versus, you know, going to Europe where there's 6 weeks vacation for regular jobs, and then, but being a Swiss academic, I mean, I think I'm probably ruined in terms of being employable by a company. But we liked it so much, we stayed there 9 years. And then when the kids got to be 10 and 12, we began to have conversations about, you know, did we really want to settle down there? And we decided to move back to the U.S., and I got the offer at Wharton. And so I've been for the past 6 or 7 years a professor of practice at Wharton. I'm leaving Wharton at the end of June and going to back to MIT Sloan. So right now and for the rest of the summer, I actually have the joint appointment. I'm on the faculty at both schools.
So once you got into the academic track, then now you've been in this track for quite some time. But it is interesting because I come from a management consulting background also. I used to run the global telecom practice at Computer Sciences Corporation, so the old CSC Partners and those guys. But it is interesting because you do get to see a lot of different companies, what management teams that do it well and management teams that don't do it so well. So you get that education of being able to see what's working and what's not working, right?
It is kind of like dog years for management practice, right? I mean, you see a lot in a short period of time, and you learn a lot.
Yeah, it is. Was the work at McKinsey around innovation or more broadly general management?
No, kind of less than innovation in the sense I did an awful lot of product development work. And I did some manufacturing work. I did McKinsey at the time when I was there, which was between 91 and 96, we're doing an awful lot of manufacturing turnaround projects. So we challenge companies to reduce their cost structure by, you know, 40% and do it at the same time as increasing quality and increasing throughput. And it was amazing how possible that was through lots of little innovations. I really gained a perspective for, I remember this one where I was working in a steel plant and they made seamless metal tubes, and we challenged them to find opportunities to improve. And there's one group that said, you know, we have these two things that cut the ends off steel pipes. to make them exactly the right length. And what we do is we take a pipe and we have cutters at each end, and we have people at each end, and then the pipe gets cut to the right length and it gets moved on. Well, if we actually just switch those, then one person could run those two machines, and we cut it and then run it through and then cut the other end. And it was so cheap, easy, and quick to make that fix that, you know, you had to challenge people to find those opportunities, but they were everywhere. And it turns out that, you know, innovation, little innovations like that, sometimes are harder to find. To find, you know, $1,000 to make a little change like that seems harder sometimes than getting $5 million.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, because it actually is tougher challenge-wise in order to make that transformation, to actually find those little things, because you got to get yourself enough into the business to really work at it. So we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up here, but before we do that, I wanted to kind of close out on just a couple of things that we're working on here at the show, which is really around some of the new sponsorships, which we've been talking about, but also the online store. So go off, check it out. It's over at innovation.tools. I appreciate the support that we get. That helps us actually help us defer some of the costs for doing the show. As you know, this is not a moneymaker for us. This is really about helping you. We make all that content available for free. So please just go over and check it out. Love to get your feedback. If there's things that are missing in the store that you really would like to have in there, just let me know. So with that, we're going to take this quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with David Robertson, and we're going to continue this conversation really on these little innovations, finding these little things that that can really have a big, huge impact. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network. Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda, or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit pioneereducationafrica.com to find out more.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Is getting a degree on your bucket list, but you've got a life, a job, family, stuff you can't put on hold to go back to school? Grantham University gets it. For over 65 years, Grantham's delivered affordable, relevant college and advanced degree programs to the men and women of our military. Let that sink in a moment. If they can deliver a quality education to a service member in a tent in Afghanistan, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. Grantham is accredited and 100% online, so they're built to be flexible to make sure you can fit an education into your already busy life. Call Grantham today to find out how easy it is to get started on your education and check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-0850. That's 800-910-0850. Grantham University. Flexible. Affordable. Relevant. Call 800-910-0850.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Before we hop back into this segment, I just want to give a big shout-out thank you to Zoom, who's a sponsor for today's show. Zoom delivers really that great video, great audio. It's how we bring guests in. It's how we're able to do these interviews. We've been using Zoom here in the studio now almost 2 years. I use it day in, day out, every day, where my day job, where I'm a CEO, and I've got teams scattered out all over the world. It is by far the best tool for doing that video collaboration, ability to bring teams together, and actually makes you feel like you're right there working with them. So check it out. We've worked it out with Zoom to get you a free account. It allows you to collaborate with up to 50 people through a video collaboration session that you want to run. So check it out. Hop on over to killerinnovations.com/Zoom and get your free account. So let's continue on the conversation, David. Just as we were going into the commercial break, you were talking about this ability to, it's hard to find these kind of little ideas that are within an organization. And you gave the example of just something as simple as the process of cutting pipes. And I agree with you. You know, in all the companies that I've been a consultant to, coaching and mentoring, everybody wants to think about the really big, you know, game changers, change entire. But these little ones can really have some significant impact.
They really can. And the focus of the new book is all about not finding those little ideas inside the organization, but rather thinking about it from your customer's perspective. So thinking about what are the things that get in the way of your customer getting value from your product. And sometimes it is those same little things. But instead of, you know, that example I gave before the break was about a steel company inside finding little innovations. But can you go out and find those little innovations for your customer and help remove the barriers to them getting value from your product? That's the focus of the book.
Yeah, and well, sometimes people refer to it as, you know, how do you make the whole process of buying, procuring, using, benefiting, as reducing that friction. Do you think about it in the context of friction, or does it fall into other categories for you?
I think of it, friction as part of it, but I also think of it as just, you know, are there things that help the customer get more value? So it can be friction, but it can also be just enhancing the capability. And, you know, it started with Lego, and I just found that there wasn't friction in using Lego before, but if you were able to tell a story, then kids got involved with that story. And even if you told that story through, say, a video game, like a Lego Star Wars video game, it didn't disrupt Lego at all. But in fact, it deepened the kids' involvement, and they wanted more bricks, not less.
It was funny. I was with my grandson the other night, and we watched the, I don't remember which one it was, but one of the Lego movies. And he has now turned into this Lego movie, you know, nut. And he's quickly gotten into it because he attaches more than just the bricks, but actually the story behind that the bricks actually can bring to life. It's been quite interesting to watch a 4-year-old go through that transformation.
And, you know, that movie is an interesting example of the challenge of doing this. So think about, why would you make a kid's movie come out in February? And remember, the Lego movie came out in February 2014, and the Lego Batman movie came out in February of this year. Why would you make a kid's movie come out in February? And I interviewed the guy, the producer of the movie, Phil Lord, on my show back in 2014, and I asked him that question, did you want to bring this movie out at Christmas? And he did. He clearly did. He said that was a very tough discussion with Lego. But think about it. You know, when you're, if you're Lego, do you need help selling bricks at Christmas? You don't, right? I mean, you have trouble making enough as it is. In fact, this last Christmas, they ran out. They exhausted their capacity, and they weren't able to make enough bricks to meet demand. And so what they did is they negotiated with these movie companies to bring the movie out in February. Even if it lowers the revenues from the movie, then that's going, overall, they're going to make more money because they're almost a software company. Their business model is they buy ABS plastic for $1 a pound and they sell it to you and me and our kids for $50 a pound.
There's a business model for you.
Oh, man, yeah.
But it is interesting, right? Because that's also, I'm going to guess, kind of a lull in their sales cycle, right? It's kind of like, you know, when I was CTO at HP, one of the big things we did was come up with kind of these, you know, I wouldn't call them artificial, but other times when people might be wanting to buy like a laptop, and we created an entirely new holiday that we called Dads and Grads. So it's all the,
you know,
it's
great.
It's graduating from school, high, you know, middle school, high school, college, and it's Father's Day. Right? So what better time to try to sell? And it turned out to be the big win because, you know, who's, you know, everybody, the big selling, you majority of your bulk of the selling is November and December, and then you kind of get this lull. But how do you keep the factories going, you know, throughout the rest of the time of the year? So it wasn't a big innovation like, oh, we're going to come up with a totally new device, but it was really just changing the business model.
And that's kind of the point of the book, is how do you organize yourself to challenge your teams to find those little innovations around your core products to make those core products more valuable, more useful, more compelling for your customers.
Yeah, so how do you go find those, though? Because, I mean, you know, I can, in my own career, having spent 25 or you know, 30 years of my career in the innovation game, you can stumble across them, but is there a process that you can use to actually find these?
Yeah, and that's what the book is all about, because a lot of it is just letting your people do what they know how to do, right? I mean, we're pretty good at innovation in many ways, but unfortunately, a lot of the things that, you know, business schools teach about how to manage innovation prevent this approach to innovation. And so the process I lay out in the book is to start actually with the question of, where do you not want to innovate? You know, what is your brick? And it could be that you have lots of different bricks. You have a number of crown jewels, you know, products that are important that you made yesterday, you're going to make today, you're going to make tomorrow. And to just kind of respect those products and challenge your teams to innovate around them. So that's the first step.
Well, that's interesting because it's almost saying, you know, hey, there are some things, don't waste your effort there, kind of a thing, or sacred cows, or maybe it's not the appropriate time. Because, you know, my philosophy on innovation is in some cases to actually let people go after the sacred cows and actually have them go through and try to innovate. But again, I, you know, this is what intrigued me about your book, because you're coming at it completely differently from what all the other innovator writers are out there. So we're going to take this quick commercial break. We're just starting to dig in. We're going to come right back. Don't go anywhere. We've got David Robinson, author of The Power of Little Ideas. This will be an eye-opener for you on thinking differently about the opportunities of innovation within your organization. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this quick, short commercial break.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Call now for your free consultation. Call 800-706-6897. 800-706-6897. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We are talking with David Robertson, author of The Power of Little Ideas, a low-risk, high-reward approach to innovation. And so one of the things that David and I were talking about during the commercial break and, all the promos that the network has been putting out is around this concept that David has around how MBAs kill innovation. And I want to make sure we get into this topic because I talk a lot about what I refer to as the innovation or corporate antibodies. So, David, share with us, what is your thinking behind this tagline that you have out there about how MBAs kill innovation? So how do you think MBAs kill innovation within an organization?
Yeah, so of course, I'll put the usual disclaimers on it that not all MBAs kill innovation, and I'm an MBA and so forth.
But I was gonna point that out, that you're also an MBA.
yeah. But some of the things I learned as an MBA, I later found out when I was a practicing manager or when I was a consultant, we're not right. So let me quickly just take you through the rest of the framework. So you start with the question of where do you not want to innovate? Like, what is the product that you want to make that made your company great, that your customers depend on? And then second, what are your customers trying to do with that product? What's your business promise? I call it a promise rather than a brand, because I think it's more specific than a brand. And then the third step is, how do you innovate around the product to deliver on that promise? And then the fourth step, and this is where a lot of the traditional ways of managing innovation can get in the way, is to bring all those, that portfolio of innovations to market. And the story I tell in the book is of GoPro versus Sony. So GoPro, we all know, of course, had a tremendously successful first 5 years. From 2010 through 2015, they grew sales at 90% per year. And of course, they stumbled in 2016 and 2017 with pricing, and they're kind of being disrupted by the smartphone. But, they had a very good run. So Sony tried to go after them. And what Sony did is what business school professors recommend you do, which is you get a team, you get a great team, you put some tight targets on them, you measure them and challenge them to do great things. And Sony delivered. And what they delivered was a great action camera. It was better than GoPro. It was a third cheaper. It had more pixels. It had image stabilization. It had noise reduction. It had a GPS. It was a better camera on every dimension. But they weren't playing the same game as GoPro. GoPro has a good action camera, of course, but they also have mounts. You can mount a GoPro to anything, your guitar, your hula hoop, your surfboard, your dog. They have great software. Once you get that raw footage, you can turn it into a really cool music video. They have one of the best social media sites on the web. They have a smartphone app to control it. And so you look at the total picture. Oh, and they got very nice displays at places like REI and other stores like that. And so, think about it from the perspective of that team that was set up by some smart manager doing what business school professors say they should do, which is to give your team clear targets and challenge them to create and put, tight metrics on it. and met, and the team did everything that management asked, and they failed miserably. And don't you feel for the people in that team that worked their butts off to accomplish everything they're asked to do and failed miserably because they were set up for failure?
Right. And it, but albeit, I bet you they still got their bonus because they hit the metric that they was given to them as far as delivering the product, probably at a certain price point with certain feature sets, et cetera.
And then a year later, when nobody was buying it, you know, nobody got punished.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah, so that's just one of the ways that MBAs can kill innovation. I mean, another way is, you know, sometimes you want to lose money one place to make money another place. So we talked a little bit about Lego and the Lego movie. You know, think about how hard that is, that if you set those up as, you know, separate P&Ls within your company, they're very different challenges, right? Making a movie is different than making a toy set. But you want to, if you want them to accomplish that same promise for your customer and make a really great play experience for kids, then you want to set it up as not one big P&L, but you want the ability to optimize profits for the company. I think a better example, and going back to Steve Jobs, is something that, you know, every innovator is kind of rolling their eyes now, but it's an example everybody knows, which is that, say you'd set up iTunes back in 2003 as a P&L, and you'd set up the iPod as a separate P&L. Well, what would have happened if you'd followed the recommendation of business school professors and MBAs? You know, you would have had these different business units going out to optimize their profits. And so the iTunes team would have gone out to the music companies and, you know, tried to drive great deals and ended up probably pissing off half of the music companies. And so you get only some music companies coming on iTunes, and then you get, you know, more profit per song, but less people coming to the platform and overall lower profits for the company. So what Apple did was it said, we're essentially not going to make money on iTunes, and we're instead going to make it on the iPod. And overall, what we want to do is actually unrelated to the iPod or iTunes. Back in 2001, they wanted to sell Macs. You know, those were not meant to be separate businesses. They were meant to be complements to the Mac that helped Apple sell more Macs. So those were the little ideas around the Mac.
Yeah, it's an interesting, right? Because you do get into this sub-optimization, right? I mean, I've looked back on my career where you maybe have an entire team that does a product line. And I've been in more meetings where in order to win this deal, you've got to get two different product line people to compromise, you know, blend the margin. But yeah, Neither one of them would be willing to blend the margin because that's not how they individually get measured and get bonused against. They don't get bonused for playing nice. They get bonused to hit the metrics that they've been assigned.
I talked to Robbie Bach. His story didn't make it into the book, but Robbie Bach was the chief Xbox officer. And I love the way he put it. He said, you got to have local budgets, local investment budgets, but global profits. And he initially set up the Xbox team to have separate P&Ls and realized after the first round that was the wrong way to do it, that you've got to have one profit budget and you got one profit goal for the whole team, and you've got to be able to get everybody focused on optimizing that overall profit goal. But that doesn't mean you don't set very tight targets for what each individual sub team has to achieve with their level of investment, right? I mean, you've got them on tight timing and budget targets for what they're going to put out. But overall, you got to share the profits.
Well, this gets into an interesting challenge because, you know, I've probably done, I don't know, half a dozen shows, podcasts. I've written about it many times about what are the right metrics if you're trying to encourage an organization to have high innovation impact, right? You can do the revenue as a percentage of R&D spend as a percentage of revenue, which is absolutely a bogus metric in my book, you know, or you can do the 3M model, which is percentage of your revenue from new products. We've only got about a minute and a half here. Really quick, what are your thoughts on what's the right metric for innovation?
Boy, that's a big question to answer in a minute
seconds.
And a half. I will go back to what MBA, another way that MBA screwed up, which is to try to put any metrics at all on it too early, right? I mean, one of the things I do in a class is I have them act as a team for a company that's trying to redesign things. And I try and set up different challenges and say, which challenge should they take on? MBAs always choose the metric challenge, and it's always wrong early on in the process, right? To put a metric on a project early is to assume a certain solution. And yes, that's really dangerous, because what happens then is the team takes on responsibility to deliver that solution. And then what happens is, of course, you're cutting out all the alternatives.
Exactly. So that's actually a very good answer, because that we're going to continue on this conversation. When we come back into the last segment, I'm going to ask David to come up with some advice on how do you deal with the MBAs? How do you prevent them from causing damage within your organization and on the innovation project? So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break. And David's going to come back and share with us a couple pieces of advice on dealing with those MBAs. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network, and you can download us on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts each and every Tuesday morning. So stay right there. We're going to be right back. Carpenters have their hammers and saws. Chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. But before we hop back into this show, I just want to do another shout-out to one of our new sponsors, HP. Yes, I know many of you are going to say, hold on, Phil, you're biased. You used to be the CTO there. Yes, I've been gone from HP, retired there from at the end of 2011. But HP's reached out. We're actually working together on their support of the show. I actually haven't been able to show it yet, but one of these shows coming up, I'm actually going to show you some of the new products that they've actually shipped me. I feel like I'm back into the hunt here of testing out new products, new technologies, and I have to tell you, I am really impressed with what the team over there has done. I can take no credit for it. They've just been crushing it. So. They are supporting us. As you know, we don't take sponsorships from technologies we don't use. We were the people who happened to design my studio, chose HP on their own. And in addition to that, the money we take in from these sponsorships, actually we apply, frees up money on our end to be able to fund the charities that we support. So that includes hackingautism.org for helping those that are have an autism diagnosis. And then also Pioneer Education Africa, the work that we're doing to try to bring creativity and innovation to schools within Africa to prepare the students there to compete in what we call the innovation economy. So thank you, HP. If you want more information, hop on over to killinnovations.com/HP, and you can read more about the sponsorship as it's all about really new and just coming together. So check that out. So David, we're talking about how MBAs kill innovation. And so what I want to do in this last segment is for you to give some advice to the listeners on what they can do with those MBAs. How do they either talk with them, interact with them, change their perspectives, propose alternatives? What advice would you have?
Yeah, so the first thing is don't blame the MBA, right? I mean, a lot of these, the good kids that were led badly, led in the wrong direction. I like the metaphor of innovation is dating, not fighting. That if we think about innovation as a battle, which is often the metaphors you see in business schools and popular press and so forth, that we should be looking at what our competitors are doing, and are we going to be disrupted by somebody, and what features does the competitor's product have, and let's declare war, and let's choose the battlefield, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's one way to look at it, and you have to watch the competition, of course. But instead of thinking about innovation as fighting, think about it as dating, and in particular, dating your customer. And so go out and take that MBA with you, and go out and you know, remember when you met that special person in your life, you wanted to become a bigger part of their life. And so you tried to understand what they cared about, who they were, what their passions and fears and hopes and dreams were. And then you wanted to try and connect with them in more different ways and become a bigger part of their life. Well, that's the approach to innovation that I'm advocating, is that it's not enough in many markets just to offer a better product. You've got to be thinking about how to connect with that customer in more ways and bring in partners or come up with different types of innovation, reach them and, you know, connect with them in more different ways. And that's really hard to do organizationally, but it's not hard to do conceptually. And so teach that MBA about dating, not fighting.
And so in this case, when, you know, when it, do you do this like literally before you even have the idea? Is this, is your vision of bringing or applying kind of this dating metaphor after you've got the concept, or is this literally day one, step one?
Well, no, the day one, step one is respecting your history, right? Mm-hmm. Respecting that product or set of products, but, you know, start small. So choose some one of your crown jewels, you know, that product that you made yesterday that you're going to make today, that you're going to make tomorrow, or service, you know, whatever it is, and that your customers depend on you for, and honor that, respect it, and build around it. And start, you know, dating those customers. Who are your core customers? I start off the book with the story of Sarah Robb O'Hagan at Gatorade. And Gatorade, you know, was and is a great product. But what she did is she went out and started understanding serious athletes and realized that they needed things not just during athletic competition, but before and after. So she created the G series of things that prime, that the carbohydrates before, and then hydration during, and then protein shakes and protein bars after. And when she introduced those complementary products, sales of the drink went up.
Yeah.
Right. So just innovating around improved the core product itself.
So again, David Robertson, author of The Power of the Little Ideas. So David, where can people find your book, and how do they keep up with what you're working on?
So I also have a radio show, Phil. So the website for my show is InnoNavi. It's Innovation Navigation, the first four letters of both words. So InnoNavi.com. The Power of Little Ideas is available wherever you buy books.
Great. We'll have all the coordinates, both for finding the book and for finding David, as part of the show notes that we will put up on the site. And also, David, this is actually your second book, right? Talk a little bit about your book.
Well, the first one was about Lego. It's called Brick by Brick, and it was the story. It's kind of a Greek tragedy of a company that, you know, a Greek tragedy. The hero rises up and does really well, and then becomes complacent, maybe even arrogant, and then falls. But learns something from that fall and comes back stronger than ever.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the history of Lego. And I thought that was worth a 320-page case study.
Yeah, it's actually that book. I've read some excerpts from it. It gets referenced a lot. That is actually just an absolute great book. I would encourage both of them. And we'll actually put links up on both of those over at killerinnovations.com. David, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. Listeners, thank you for taking time out of your Sunday to come spend it with us here in the studio. If you've got questions that come up during the week, go ahead. You can drop them into email, phil@killerinnovations.com. That bypasses all the teams. That's an email that comes directly to me. So, therefore, if you've got questions, something you heard in the show, or other information that would be helpful with whatever your project is that you're passionate about, I would ask for just one quick favor. That is to go on over, give us a rating over at iTunes. It helps us get the word out. I would really appreciate it. So thanks a lot. Have a great week. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.